Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 876, Priyarha. Priya is a very well-known word and a very well-loved word, because Priya means who is very dear, very loved. The roots involved in this name are, Pri comes from, it means tarpane, kantocha, to please or to take delight in, and arha gives the idea, pujayam yogatvecha, to worship, to deserve. So it means he who deserves our love, and he is the most fitting among the objects of love. Satyadeva Vashishta has analyzed this name, the Sanskrit, from two different angles and come up with these two very similar understandings. So we've heard many times, God is love. Yes, God is lovable. If we say God is love, that gives an idea of some cosmic consciousness. But God is lovable means he is a person and we are persons, and there is a relationship of love. Prajapati comments that Bhagavan, Narayana, Vishnu, is rightly the object of love, actually of everyone, but Parashabhata says particularly the devotees, because he loves and respects the devotees intensely. Because of his attitude towards them, he is worthy of love. Now we know from Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yayata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. I reciprocate with everyone according to the way they approach me. But here, in this analysis, it's round the other way. That he should be loved by his devotees because of his attitude toward them. So it's a little like the, which comes first, the chicken or the egg kind of question. Do the devotees love him first or does he love them first? No, it's a Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. The relationship of love between Krishna and his devotees is eternally established within the hearts both of Krishna and the devotees. Sadhavo hridayo mahyam sadhunang hridayang tvaham. Krishna says, I am the heart of my devotees, and they are my heart. So, Krishna loves the devotees because he loves them, and they love him because he loves them. So it's a circle of love. He feels that his devotees are kind to him because they come to him for their needs. Even if a devotee comes with some intention, personal intention, he comes with an attitude of submissiveness and affection, and naturally Krishna feels obliged to them. He feels that the devotees, they are very generous by coming to him, by giving their love to him. In this regard, Parashabhata quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Udara sarva evaite jnani tvatma eva me matam, astita sahiyuktatma mama evanu tamam gatim. All these devotees are udara. They're benevolent, they're generous. Krishna thinks like this. He says like this. But the one who knows me, Krishna says, Jnani, the one who is in knowledge of me, I consider him to be just on the very same level of myself. He's yuktatma. I feel him to be just so close to me that we're joined as one being. Because he's devoted to me as his highest goal. Mam eva anutamam gatim. The jnani is very clear that the highest goal has got to be Krishna. So Bhagavan feels that because the devotees are worshipping him, giving everything they have to him, including their very selves, so he considers, well, they've given everything to me, so they're very benevolent to me. And because of this attitude of respect to his devotees, the devotees naturally feel inclined to love him. So it goes on. He loves them, they love him. And seeing his love for them, they love him more. Seeing their love for him, he loves them more. And it goes on and on and on. Beautiful. Some references from Narmalavar's Tiruvai Muli. Kanan, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, bestows the great gift, a great gift to his devotees, the gift of constant thought of his divine feet. He allows them to constantly meditate upon him if they surrender to him with unswerving devotion. But even after that, he feels he hasn't done enough. And in this regard, we remember Krishna, when he was leaving this world, he felt, I did so many things, but I still feel dissatisfied because Draupadi, I helped her, but I didn't, it wasn't enough. I should have done more. That's his feeling. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 8, text 143. Shringa rasaraja maya murti dharo atev atma parjanta. I'll read that again. Shringa rasaraja maya murti dharo atev atma parjanta sarva chittahara. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Krishna is all attractive for devotees in all mellows because he is the personification of the conjugal mellow. This is a very interesting point, a very, very deep theological point, which needs a lot of unpacking, which I won't get into here. He is attractive, all attractive for devotees in all mellows, in all rasas, because he is the personification of the conjugal mellow. Krishna is attractive not only to the devotees, but to himself as well. Now, in the next verse, I'm going to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which follows on from the one. No, in the next verse, I'm going to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can remember the name that we discussed recently, Gunabrit, he who has transcendental qualities. The verse goes as follows. This is from Madhya Lila, chapter 24, text 41. Guna shabder artha Krishna guna ananta shachid rupa guna sarva purna ananda. The word guna means quality. The qualities of Krishna are transcendentally situated and are unlimited in quantity. All of the spiritual qualities are full of transcendental bliss. Next verse. Aisharja madhurja karunye swarup purnata bhakta vatsalya atma parjanto vadanyata. Krishna's transcendental qualities of opulence, sweetness, and mercy are perfect and full. As far as Krishna's affectionate leaning toward his devotees is concerned, he is so magnanimous that he can give himself to his devotees. The next verse. Alokik rupa rasa shorab hadi gun karo man kano gune kore akarshan. Krishna has unlimited qualities. The devotees are attracted by his uncommon beauty, mellows, and fragrance. Thus, they are differently situated in the different transcendental mellows. Therefore, Krishna is called all-attractive. So the point that Krishna gives himself to his devotees and that he is therefore worshipable by them is borne out further by the verses which I just read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the fact that he has all wonderful transcendental qualities. Actually, whatever we say about Krishna, as long as it's from bona fide sources, whatever we say about Krishna upholds the point that he is Priyaha. He is the one who is worthy of our love and, well, worthy of our worship is specifically the point that is being made here. Worthy of our love, worthy of our worship. A common word used in relation to sadhus, pujaniya, one who is worthy of being respected, worshipped. I myself am often addressed as param pujaniya, most worshipable. It's a common term used in respect to sadhus. But actually, the original pujaniya is Krishna. And anyone who is directly in relation to Krishna and who is trying to bring others in relation to Krishna, they can also be considered pujaniya, worshipable, because he is worshipable because of the relation with him. Shankaracharya interprets the term priya here as meaning things that are dear to ourselves. And he explains the name to signify that Lord Vishnu deserves to be offered, should be offered, those things which are most dear and precious and beloved to ourselves. In this regard, he quotes from the Vishnu Dharmottara, Yad yad ishtatamam loke, yachasya dayitam grihe, tat tat grinavate deyam tadeva akshayam ichata. Persons who desire the imperishable Brahman, is the translation given here, actually. We should understand this to mean Krishna. For such persons, the things which are most dear to them in the world and in their house should be offered to a meritorious person. And in this way, understanding that this will be an offering to God. In regard to this, Sri Radha Krishna Shastri refers to a mantra from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. In which Yajnavalkya states, well, it's just summarizing a whole passage in which it stated that various objects, such as property and animals, they belong to us. They're not dear to us because of themselves, but because of ourselves. Even our friends, our relatives, they're not dear to us because of themselves, but because of ourselves. We are, then the purport of all the things that are dear to one, the thing that is really dear to everyone is the Atma, which is generally taken to mean the self, or in the individual self, or in the impersonal interpretation, the idea is that all things are one Atma. So, gets a little strained here. And of course, this idea is taken forward in the Sri Vaishnav tradition especially, the idea of Atma Samarpana, offering oneself fully to the Supreme Lord, understanding him to be the Supreme Atma. This discussion in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is paralleled in Srimad Bhagavatam after the incident of Brahma stealing all the cowherd boys and calves and Krishna reproducing himself in those forms. And then the parents of the cowherd boys and the calves becoming extremely attached to those forms, who are actually Vishnu forms, they're expansions of Krishna. So after this incident had been described, Maharaj Parikshit asked, O Brahmana, he's asking Shukdev Goswami, how could the cowherd woman have developed for Krishna, someone else's son, such unprecedented pure loves, love they never felt even for their own children? Please explain this. Shukdev Goswami replied, O King, for every created being, the dearmost thing is certainly his self. So you see, it's paralleling Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The dearness of everything else, the Priya, we're talking about the name Priyarha, what is dear and worshipable. So Shukdev says, the dearness of everything else, children, wealth, and so on, is only due to the dearness of the self. Absolutely in line with Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, one of the better-known passages in the Upanishads. Shukdev continues, for this reason, O best of kings, the embodied soul is self-centered. Aren't we all? We think so much about our own welfare. We're very much centered in ourselves, every one of us. It's extremely difficult not to be. We have to be aware. For instance, when we're walking on the road, we have to be aware of everything around us. So we have to see ourselves as the center. We have to take care of the body, which is centered on ourselves. The embodied soul is self-centered. He is more attached to his own body and self than to his so-called possessions like children, wealth, and home. Indeed, for persons who think the body is the self, particularly for people who think the body is the self. For persons who think the body is the self, O best of kings, those things whose importance lies only in their relation to the body are never as dear as the body itself. So when we take the body to be the self, we get in a lot of trouble. Continuing, if a person comes to the stage of considering the body mine instead of me, he will certainly not consider the body as dear as his own self. This is the beginning of self-realization, to understand the difference between the body and the self. Continuing, after all, even as the body is growing old and useless, one's desire to continue living remains strong. Therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being, and it is simply for the satisfaction of the self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. Okay, very interesting philosophy. What's it got to do with Parikshit's question about why the mothers of the cowherd boys who are not actually cowherd boys, they weren't the original, they were Krishna, why they loved those boys more when it was actually Krishna? Why did they love them more than their own sons? How does it answer this? Then Shukadev Goswami goes on to explain. You should know Krishna to be the original soul of all living entities. For the benefit of the whole universe, he has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his internal potency. Those in this world who understand Lord Krishna as he is see all things, whether stationary or moving, as manifest forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such enlightened persons recognize no reality apart from the Supreme Lord Krishna. The original unmanifested form of material nature is the source of all material things, and the source of even that subtle material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. What then could one ascertain to be separate from him? So they loved, the mothers loved him because he is the center of all existence. He is Priyarha. He is the one who is very dear and naturally, therefore, worthy of our worship. And we can take it further. The name Priyarha means worthy of worship. We can take it further in the Vrindavan conception, who is worthy of love. But then when it comes to the point of worthy of love, it's no longer a question of consideration, of why. It's just a natural reciprocation. Then Shukdev Goswami, having explained this, states a very well-known verse, Samashrita ye padda pallava plavam mahatpadang punya yasho morare he bhavambad hir vatsa padang param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water containing a calf's hoofprint. Their goal is Parampadam, Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. This is a deeply philosophical section of Bhagavatam, which needs a lot of analysis and unpacking, which I won't get into just now. Krishna Datta Bharadvaj gives the understanding of this name. Priyani Shrak Chandanadini Arhati Iti Priyarhaha. He who deserves to be worshipped with pleasing things such as a garland, flowers, sandalwood pulp, and so on. Baladev Vidyabhushan, we remember in the previous name, Abhipraya explained that he who is permeated with a thoroughly loving disposition toward his devote, he who is permeated with a thoroughly loving disposition toward his devotees, just as the moon is permeated thoroughly with coolness. Therefore, Baladev says, he is Priyarha. So it's similar to the description given by Parashar Bhatta, and Baladev Vidyabhushan is tying it in with the previous name. Therefore, because he has such a loving disposition toward his devotees, he is called Priyarha. And Baladev continues by saying that he, ignoring even Lakshmi, honors devotees who know his swarup and act toward him with affection, priya, and unalloyed devotion. So, beautiful name, invoking love for Krishna, or analyzing devotees' love for Krishna and Krishna's love for them. We have many names in Vishnu Sahasranam which emphasize intelligence, such as Medhavi, Sumedha, Satyamedha. But intelligence is not all important, especially in our present highly technological, scientific, empirically, noetically oriented age. We put a lot of emphasis on intelligence, but real intelligence means how to love, or put it another way, intelligence is not the most important thing. It's not all important by any means. The most important thing is to love. What's the use of being so damn intelligent if you don't have feeling in your heart, especially feeling for Krishna? What's the use of intelligence if you don't have any love, put it simply? Sometimes people are highly intelligent, but they use that intelligence to hurt others. They have no love in their heart. Ugh. Actually, we find that often with psychopaths. People that are very, very intelligent at manipulating and treating people nastily. Ugh. So Krishna is Priyarha. He is the topmost theological conception, but he's more than a conception. He is Krishna. He is the one worth loving. Everything about Krishna is lovable. Here is a description of Krishna, as described by his topmost lovers, the gopis, a famous description, just one of the unlimited perspectives on why they love him and what it is about him. He comes to this world and demonstrates his pastimes, just inviting us to join him in his pastimes of love. So here is a description of a loving description of Krishna's beautiful form by the topmost of his lovers, the gopis, taken from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, a well-known verse. Baha piram natavaravapu karnayo kanikaram bibradvasa kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randran venur adhara sudhaya purayan gopa vrindair vrindaranyam svapada ramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue Karnikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. As we are on the subject of love, a verse quoted at the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which sets the tenor for the whole of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing Krishna's amazement at the love that Radha has for him, Krishna, and his desire to experience that love that she has for him. Shri Radhaya pranayamahima ki drisho vanayaiva svadyo yenad bhutamadhurima ki drisho vamadiyaha so kyang chasya mad anubhavata kīdrśam veti lobhat tad bhāvārdhya samajanishat chigarbha sindho harinduhu. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritva chakakushatame tadaham bravimi. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad Gauranga Chandra Charane Kuru Tanu Ragaha. Parivadatu Jano Yata Tata Va. Nanu Mukharo Navayang Vichara Yamaha. Hari Rasa Madira Madati Mata. Bhuvi Vilutama Nartama Nirvishama. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.